You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Over the years, I've had a few discussions and a couple of debates about an issue that I don't think I've ever brought up before on this program, and that is the authority of Lehi and those who traveled with him and his family over to the New World to do things according to God's will with the priesthood. Stated a little bit more formally, where did Lehi acquire the authority to continue on with or organize the Jewish faith amongst his family and move it to another location? Let me move this to kind of more practical context. If some family member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints moved off to some other remote location where there were no church authorities, what could they do as part of the gospel? Could you conduct meetings? Could you celebrate holidays? Could you conduct and pass the sacrament? What authority would you have? Baptisms? Confirmations? This is an interesting question. Although I think it is quite over-dramatized by some. And today, that's the focus. When people ask, how did the Jews originally get their authority? It's assumed it came from God, was given to Adam. It's assumed that because God called Moses, Abraham, and the other prophets, that they had authority to do many things. And all of the details about the authority that they had and how they acquired it is just assumed. There's not the detailed explanation or story. And that is the way I see it for the Lamanites and the Nephites, those who were from Lehi's family. And let me tell you why I include the Lamanites in there. We certainly have some good Lamanites, Samuel the Lamanite, and there were certainly others as well. The way the story is told makes it sound like Nephite good, Lamanite bad, but I'm sure it's more complicated than that. Certainly there were people all across the spectrum in both groups. But so here's the ultimate question here about authority. And the way that I think we should look at this, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have kind of a unique situation here. And it's even more unique than Eastern Orthodox or Catholic faith, and especially far more concrete in the Protestant faiths, which are in the tenuous position of the Church of All Believers, which was kind of a concept that was made up at the time of the Reformation. It's not biblical. So, and that doesn't mean that I'm casting aspersions on the Protestants. Just, I mean, I love the Protestants. They're wonderful, good, faithful people. But the issue of authority is a little bit more of a problem for them than for many others. Catholics have problems in their history because there were times when the Eastern Pope excommunicated the Western Pope and vice versa. There were huge problems. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, either believe the history or you don't. If you don't believe it, then fine. They don't have, the church is run by people without authority. But if you believe the history, it's easy to find the authority. You can trace it all the way back to Peter, James, and John the Baptist. You can trace the authority of every single apostle and president of the church. And so we look at it from a little bit different perspective. When you look at Lehi, he certainly had priesthood authority. He was in Jerusalem. He would have been part of the priestly class. He would have had authority just as much as any other Jewish leaders did at the time. The Book of Mormon doesn't say where other people who were part of his family got their authority any more than it explicitly says where he got his. So here's the question. Where did the people, the leaders in the Book of Mormon, get their authority? We don't have any record of their ordinations. It's just not part of the record. Maybe it was in the larger place, but we don't have those. In the case of Alma the Elder, we have an interesting question. Were the priests of Noah legitimate holders of the priesthood? Because that would have been the group from which many people would have ultimately traced back their authority. So we don't have any record of ordinations for Alma other than his presumed inclusion amongst the priests who were ordained by Noah, who wasn't such a great guy. Well, where then did Alma get his priesthood authority? Interesting questions here. And those raise questions for us. How far does somebody have to leave the teachings of the church before their authority goes away and you're in a state of apostasy to the extent that there is no authority? Let's take a look at some of the major figures in the Book of Mormon to try to answer this question a little bit more concretely. First, let's look at Nephi's authority, because Lehi certainly got his authority from Jerusalem. We don't have to ask about that. Lehi's son Nephi unquestionably held some kind of priesthood because we have records of his ordaining Joseph and Jacob, his brothers. We don't have any real record of his own ordination. In 1 Nephi, in chapter 17, verses 48 through 54, we just don't read anything about that. So what do we conclude from that kind of a gap in the record? What I would say is we just don't need to worry about it. We assume it. We assume that Lehi had authority and that he gave it to Nephi. Otherwise, Nephi, being the kind of person who wanted to obey God's will and obey the commandments, he wouldn't have just sort of ordained people without authority. Let's ask about Samuel the Lamanite. I brought him up for just a minute. In the case of Samuel, we just have kind of an argument without any real background here. We don't know much about Samuel and where he came from. He was part of the Lamanites. The things that are recorded in Helaman in chapter 13, verses 5 and 7 don't say anything about his having been ordained. But we know that Jesus, when he came, acknowledged Samuel as his servant in 3 Nephi chapter 23, verse 9. So whatever he did it with the approval of Jesus. Then we get to Abinadi. Same thing there. We don't have any specific information about his ordination to the priesthood. We assume it came from Noah and the priests. But these priests, as you realize, were not good people. So could he really get authority from them? The answer is yes. If someone had to be perfect to carry on authority, there would always be the worry that somehow you wouldn't have authority if somebody in your priesthood line didn't quite live up to the correct level. And we can't live our lives that way. If you received the priesthood or were set apart or ordained, and it was done by somebody who had previously been ordained, then that's enough. That is the requirement. Otherwise, there would be chaos trying to figure out with some kind of a standard that could never, ever really be met, who had authority and who didn't. It's a fascinating question. Today we're talking about priesthood authority amongst the Nephites in particular, but it also pertains a little bit to us as to how much someone needs to be worthy. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. When we come back, more about the authority of the Nephites. And if you have a question or comment, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. We'll be right back.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Our topic today is how did the Nephites and Lamanites, presumably at least some, have priesthood authority? Because none of the details of ordinations, with few exceptions, is mentioned in the Book of Mormon. We talked about Lehi before the break and Nephi. A little bit about Samuel the Lamanite. Let's talk now about the authority of Alma the Younger. Here we have a little different circumstance. Alma the Younger had this spectacular conversion because an angel appeared to him. Alma doesn't wait for some kind of ordination by a person to. It's possible that Alma the Younger, being the son of a priest, had already been ordained, even though he was a really bad guy prior to the appearance of the angel. So he could have been ordained before. But one of the things that's important to realize is that you don't have to have an ordination to report spiritual experience. Joseph Smith had no priesthood authority when he had his first vision or when he had a number of different visits by Moroni and others. He had no priesthood at that point in time. And so what does that tell us about the authority of the Nephites and Lamanites? Well, it tells us that spiritual experiences can happen to anyone. And that's really important. Priesthood has great value, but it's not a requirement in any way, shape, or form for a spiritual experience. If we take a look at his own statements about his conversion, we see here that Alma the Younger says, quote, "I, Alma, having been consecrated by my father Alma to be a high priest over the Church of God, he having power and authority from God to do these things, close quote. Now that's Alma chapter 5, verse 3. So we know that at least at some point, maybe after his conversion, he had been given the priesthood and consecrated by his father. And when we look at the cases of Lehi, Nephi, Abinadi, and Samuel, maybe they're a little bit ambiguous, but if we take a look at Alma the Elder, we don't have any question here. He was ordained, and again, validly, by Noah, who was ordained by his father, and by his father, and so on. And that line would have come all the way back to Lehi, and hence could be traced back to Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to make this point another time. Just because Noah was not righteous, and that Alma himself seems to certainly have violated laws during his early ministry, that doesn't have anything to do with Alma's priesthood authority. Dan Peterson wrote a great piece on this. He states that unless and until superior priesthood authority withdraws permission to exercise priestly functions, a legitimately ordained holder of the priesthood may continue to perform valid priesthood ordinances, however unrighteous he may personally be, close quote. Now, that may sound surprising to some, but I think this is a wonderful and an important point to know. The whole idea of authority in the Book of Mormon is a fascinating one, and it's also fascinating to think about what the church would have looked like in the New World. We certainly know that it could not have been exactly the same as the church was in the Old World. They built their own temple, and some have criticized the Book of Mormon by saying, oh, there were no other temples except the one in Jerusalem. So a purported temple in the Book of Mormon outside of Jerusalem is an impossibility. We now know that that is just not true. We have at least three separate functioning Jewish temples outside of Jerusalem in the Old World that are known. Some are describing the Dead Sea Scrolls. There's one that we know of from archaeological excavations in Egypt. Yes, there were Jews in Egypt, and there were others in different places in the Middle East. This is a fascinating thing. The Jews have a great desire, or at least some of them do, to rebuild the temple. And exactly how that will occur is unknown. The idea is that the temple will be rebuilt, and many assume that it must take place in exactly the location where the first temple was located. I'm not sure that's true. Maybe on the Temple Mount would be close enough, or appropriately close might be a better way to say it. The point that I'm making here is that all of the time, often, people from the outside make assumptions that aren't necessarily true. One of the other points about priesthood authority is that even if there were at some point some kind of a break in authority, God could, just as he did with Joseph Smith, have sent a messenger from heaven, an angelic messenger, which is a redundancy because the word angel does come from the word messenger. So angelic messenger means a messenger messenger. At any rate, if God sent a messenger with the priesthood, an ordination could have happened. Authority could have been given. Now, a final comment about the Book of Mormon, and that is there seems to be today raging a great deal of debate about its historicity. And I would like to make two points on that. For people who aren't very familiar with that issue, there are a number of people, even within the church, who say, I don't believe the Book of Mormon is a historical document. I believe it's much like the parables of Jesus. It has great, wonderful information, but its contents are not literally true. Then there's another group that says, oh, yes, if you could travel back in time, you would see there were Nephites, there were Lamanites, and that's where the great divide seems to be, at least among some of the scholarly people in the church, and there are a few people outside of the church who would take that position, too. It's a minority position, but if you run into someone like that, be kind to them. They just have a little different view of the gospel. They still believe that it's true. Now, I very strongly believe that it would be impossible for Joseph Smith to have come up with the details of the Book of Mormon. Hence, they came from God. And I also see more and more over time how there is archaeological and other evidence that supports the accuracy of the things that are in the Book of Mormon and convinces me that it is an historically accurate record. There's still raging debate about where the things that occurred within the pages of the Book of Mormon happened. I strongly believe they're in Central America, not North America, for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that at no time during Book of Mormon era times, as mentioned in the Book of Mormon, do we have anywhere close to enough people to have the events in the Book of Mormon occur, whereas we now have archaeological evidence that demonstrates that in Mesoamerica we had far more than enough people, probably 22, 23, 25 million people there in Mesoamerica during Book of Mormon times. Join me next week. I'm Martin Tanner.